Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is Sunny speaking. Welcome to Yugto, our podcast where we get mad about Filipino history. You're joining us for our second season, where we're focusing on the stories of different Filipino athletes throughout history. Today, we're going to be mad about how poorly supported our athletes are, before and after they're seen as useful. It's well known and well documented that the Filipino government is notoriously bad at supporting our athletes. One of the main discourses after the 2021 Olympic Filipino delegation made the biggest medal haul of the nation's history is to whom these victories could be credited. You might say to yourself, to the athletes, surely. But of course, there were politicians every which way, even to those speaking on behalf of President Duterte himself, crediting themselves for the win. These politicians could straight up join the Olympics themselves, with the backbends and cartwheels and loops they were contorting themselves into, trying to find a link between their sitting around and Haydn Diaz breaking an Olympic record. Where were these same politicians when Diaz and her fellow delegates were training for the Olympics, where they would make history? When Diaz and Yumir Marshall were giving interviews lamenting the lack of government funding and were approaching private businesses for financial support? These politicians were nowhere to be seen. Some of them shortly before were outright accusing Diaz of being part of a supposed communist plan to get rid of President Duterte. If you were an Olympic athlete for the Philippines, would you rather be in the spotlight where your every move, moreover your victories, are politicized? Or would you rather be outright ignored and given no notice at all? The latter might seem more merciful, but today's story is about someone who was left behind, whose Olympic legacy and life as an athlete brought him nothing in the end. Not even comfort. Teofilo Ildefonso was the Philippines' first bronze medalist, and Haydn Diaz was the Philippines' first gold medalist. Between them both was Anthony Villanueva, our first silver medalist. Today, we revisit his sad story. It is 1932. At the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, the Philippines is setting a record it won't be able to beat for the next 80-something years. Its delegation takes home three medals, three bronzes to be exact. One of those medals is Ilocano Shark Teofilo Ildefonso's. The second of these medals is Simeon Toribio's, a high jumper. The last of those medals goes to one Jose Villanueva, a boxer. Ildefonso's story we tackled before. He brings home back-to-back bronzes in two different Olympics and fathers a new way of doing the breaststroke. He dies in a Japanese POW camp during the Second World War. Toribio, proclaimed Asia's greatest athlete in 1930, wins his prize after narrowly finishing fourth in the previous 1928 Olympics. Something he claimed only happened because he had to go to the bathroom right before his jump. He would go on to serve as a politician. Jose Villanueva becomes a boxing trainer. Among the people who pass under his tutelage or influence, his true legacy, his son, Anthony Villanueva. Villanueva is scouted at a young age as having his father's potential, or maybe more. And he trains and trains and knows that one day he will stand on the Olympic podium and surpass Jose in every way. It is 1964. Anthony Villanueva is now in his father's shoes. He is at the world stage. It is the 1964 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. The Philippines has won for boxing before. Anthony knows that. He has heard his father celebrated for it, has likely sat next to his father, listening to a first-hand account of how it all went down, how his boxing bronze contributed to the Philippines' 1932 three-medal haul. the Philippines will win for boxing after too, numerous times. In fact, that same 1932 haul Jose Villanueva was part of was only beat in the recent 2020 Tokyo Olympics, where 3 of the 4 medals won were from boxers, Nesty Petesho, Carlo Paalam, and Yumir Marshall. But right now, again, it is 1964. It is Anthony Villanueva's moment. Good looking, just 5 feet 5 inches, less than 20 years old, still a teenager with all that boyish eagerness to prove himself. He's ready to show his father's fans, and all the people of the Philippines what he's made of. He's about to show the Olympic audience just how hard the brown Asians from the American colony of the Philippines can pack a punch. He is about to make Olympic and Filipino history. Villanueva first defeats Giovanni Girgenti of Italy. It's a close call, and not one he intends to repeat. Tamar Ben Hassan of Tunisia is next, and Villanueva wins by majority decision. Polish Piotr Gutman, he knocks out. In the span of a few days and bouts, Villanueva is in the semi-finals. His opponent, an American whose name, seriously, I'm not kidding, is Charlie Brown. At this point, the people back at home are likely awash in excitement. There is no social media to chronicle every result of his bouts the moment they happen, and no live feeds doing the math of what medals he's guaranteed to win. But the narrative is a juicy one. An American versus a Filipino. Colonizer versus colonized. Charlie Brown has been the favorite to win since before the competition. So it seems that everyone's resigned for Villanueva to take home another bronze to add to the Philippines' small collection. But then again, who doesn't love a good underdog story? Villanueva went into that ring with everyone around him probably having zero expectations of him. He goes toe-to-toe with betting odds favorite Charlie Brown, and who should come out the favorite? In a 4-1 decision, the referee lifts Villanueva's arm, advancing him to the finals round and guaranteeing him at least a silver. It's already a story guaranteed to tug at the heartstrings back home. Local boy defies the odds, goes beyond his father's legacy, and garners a historic first for the Philippines. It doesn't get much better than that. But of course, it's not over. Villanueva isn't here to settle for a silver. He is going to do his damnedest for the gold, and his entire country is cheering him on. For the finals, he faces off against a representative from the then Soviet Union. His name is Stanislav Stepashkin. He and Stepashkin are well matched. They fight, punches meeting heads, fists meeting jaws, breath upon breath, sweat upon sweat. The two fight. In the end, it must come to a split decision. The Philippines waits with bated breath and is disappointed. The vote is 2-3, and Stepashkin wins. So close to a gold medal, alas. But this disappointment doesn't last long. There is still the realization that Anthony Villanueva has done something no other athlete has done. He has brought the Philippines its first ever second place finish in the Olympics. As Villanueva stands on the second place platform, a place where no other Filipino has ever stood, he must be beaming with pride. This is for his father, who at last he has surpassed. This is for his country, that he loves and that now, because of his feats, loves him. Villanueva stands there, a silver medal around his neck, listening to the Soviet anthem, glowing from the inside. He does not yet know that he will die in abject poverty, forgotten by everyone applauding him. Right now, His whole future is ahead of him. Villanueva returns home a hero. A press darling, a political favorite, someone offered sponsorships, gifts, interviews, the whole nine yards. He's on newspapers. He's on magazines. He's on TV. He has endorsements. Expats and politicians rush to him for photo ops and to shake hands. Surely girls line up as well for his affections. Simply put, people can't get enough of him. The whole world is his oyster. Villanueva does not seem too interested in going for another Olympics. Again, note how young he is. With so many glittering opportunities lying before him, it's no wonder he decides to explore. He tries a professional boxing career for a little bit, naturally. Expectations are high for him, and people are excited for his debut. His first fight is an international one, and in the huge arena that is Araneta Coliseum. This is the attention, the level of celebrity that he warrants. Unfortunately, this stint does not last too long. He eventually quits professional boxing, perhaps because he didn't like what he was doing, perhaps because it did not have the same thrill as competing at the Olympic stage, perhaps because it simply isn't fulfilling him and he feels like there is more for him out there. Perhaps it is because this first match taints all the subsequent ones. Basically, he very narrowly and controversially wins that match at the Araneta. Villanueva quits after 5 fights. He is restless, looking for the thing that is meant for him and that he feels like he deserves. Like other athletes after him, Villanueva capitalizes on his boyish good looks and his popularity. The Filipino movie industry calls, and he jumps at the opportunity. Anthony Villanueva stars in a few films. A highlight in his short career includes the film Malakas Kaliwat Kanan, or Really Strong Left Right, as in punches. He starred in it alongside some big names, Nida Blanca and future ousted president Joseph Estrada. Nevertheless, this career does not stick either. Just as he quit professional boxing in 5 matches, he quits acting after 5 movies. He is restless. It is 1976. Villanueva flies to the United States, the land of opportunity. He likely imagines that life there will be kinder and fuller with promise. The sheen from his silver medal is beginning to wear away a bit, but he has yet to find a calling to stick with. At America, does he step off the plane with excitement? If he does, it is not excitement that sticks around for very long. It is a very hard life that awaits him there. Let us fast forward a bit to the last highlight of Villanueva's post-Olympic career. It is 1988, some 24 years after his historic first. Anthony Villanueva does what his father, Jose Villanueva, did for him. Jose passed on 5 years earlier from a heart attack, but his fatherly spirit lives on in Anthony. Anthony Villanueva coaches Leopoldo Cervantes, who will be boxing at the 1988 Seoul Summer Olympics. He watches his protege make it through enough rounds to win a bronze medal, the first medal for the Philippines since Anthony's own over 2 decades ago. Anthony likely watches this feat with pride, of course. But is there nostalgia mixed in with all of that? Is there sadness at this reminder of all the things that once was for him and what could have been? With Cervantes' win, Villanueva's love affair with the Olympics and boxing finishes for good. And indeed, it feels as if the world's interest in him wanes as well. It has been going on for a while. What did Villanueva do while he was in the Americas? Not boxing. Not acting. When he was not finding work as a boxing coach in different gyms, he worked odd jobs. He worked as a cook in a Mexican restaurant, and then as a security guard at the Filipino embassy. Not the career trajectory expected of an Olympic medal winner. Not that he's a model citizen either. Villanueva at one point marries an American woman and has a son with her, despite having a first wife with two children that he had left back in the Philippines. After helping Coach Cerantes to a bronze medal in 1988, Villanueva makes one more attempt to down roots and find respectable work in the United States. It does not work. And full of disappointments and bitterness, Villanueva finds himself driven back to his home country. But there is no respite there either. Villanueva quickly finds that his name has no more pull. No one is checking now for the person who won an Olympic medal over 30 years ago, even if it was an unprecedented feat at the time. He can't find a job that can stick. The money runs out, slowly but surely. He is soon living in relative poverty, struggling day to day with only his common law wife, Liesel, as comfort. His family manages a small sari-sari store. He receives a pension from the government, of course. 7,000 pesos. Villanueva lives as his historic feat is finally duplicated. In 1996, Onyok Velasco, again a Filipino boxer, wins the country's second silver medal at the Olympics in Atlanta. He watches as future absentee senator Manny Pacquiao skyrockets to international fame, bringing the capability of the Filipino boxer to the international pop cultural front. But what are these to him now? What are these but a reminder of his glory days that he will never get back? Onyok Velasco holds the country's second Olympic silver with pride, while Villanueva tries to pawn away the first one. Yes. Villanueva tries to sell his silver medal for 1,000,000 pesos. For there is simply nothing else he can do. What is a long-gone victory and a heart-tugging story, in the face of starvation, of poverty, of humiliation, of heart attacks and strokes which now come frequently? He is now on his third one. Villanueva, once so light on his feet, can no longer walk. Villanueva, who was once in films, can no longer speak. He needs money for his medical bills. He needs someone to buy this silver medal that has become useless to him. But no one bites. No one wants it. Just like no one remembers him. Yet another disappointment on top of a lifetime of disappointments. And so he dies. It's not a fast death either. Villanueva becomes increasingly debilitated and paralyzed because of the strokes. His family pleads openly for help. Who can say how aware Villanueva still is at this point? Does he know that newspapers circulate with titles like "Penniless Olympic Winner Needs Help for Medical Bills" and the like? Who knows? All we know is that he passes one day. In May 2014. The kind words and thoughts came after his death. Manny Pacquiao called him the original Filipino boxing icon who should never be forgotten by the nation. President of the Amateur International Boxing Agency, Wu Ching Kuo, said that the death of Villanueva left not only a void in Philippine boxing, but also in the hearts of all who knew him around the world. A trust fund for retired athletes is set up. It's to make sure that no one ever ends up like him. The silver medal that couldn't save him, the first one in the history of the Philippines, sits now in the museum of the Philippine Sports Commission. Imagine being etched forever in your country's history of sport, but being unable to pay for your own medical bills, being unable to pay for the upkeep of the same body that you literally fought with for the pride of the nation. Let's be fair. Villanueva should have made smarter life choices as well. He let himself think that during his peak of celebrity, his life would always be that way. But maybe even if Villanueva realized, whether early or late, that he had to manage his finances better, he did not know how. Heidelin Diaz, the first Olympic gold medalist for the Philippines, campaigns for financial literacy among adult athletes herself. She said that she herself has been scammed in the past and has lost money that way. She further said that she has seen and heard of plenty of athletes who had nowhere to turn after their careers because they had no savings and no know-how to make their money last. She said something like, "We will not be athletes forever, and we're lucky if we last long." Maybe the tragedy of Anthony Villanueva's life boils down to a simple lack of financial literacy. Sportsmen are as prone as any other celebrity or get-rich-quick type of person to get swept up in the money they have now instead of worrying about the money they must have later. It's just one of the many ways that we and institutions can help campaign for the better lives of our athletes who fight so hard for our country. Nevertheless, the tragedy of Villanueva's life speaks for itself, why we are getting mad on this episode of Yugto. Our corporate brands and politicians love to clout chase, yes. How much was promised to the four Olympic medalists of the past 2020 Tokyo Olympics? How many lifetime accesses to restaurants, how many free airline miles, how many houses, how much cash was given to them in congratulations? When there was no support during the journey to the podium. At the very least, though, the discourse over this attitude has meant that we will never have a repeat of what happened to Villanueva. Forget lifetime deals and miles or what have you. Remember how little Villanueva got. Imagine being your country's first ever Olympic silver medalist, and for all of that, only receiving 7,000 pesos a month on a pension at the very end. Where is the physical support for our athletes before their showings? Where is the mental support after? And does it exist for those who don't win medals? We remember Anthony Villanueva today, his moment of glory and all the pains that followed, and we hope that not a single athlete will ever have to succeed only to suffer the way that he did. We hope that congratulatory promises are kept and manifest into investments, into training as well. We hope that there is support for our athletes' financial literacy, that they may not be swept up by scams or celebrity, and that they are given the means to be good examples instead of cautionary tales. There were so many ways the Philippines failed Villanueva after he succeeded for us. We must not allow that to happen again. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the local Filipino sports scene, consider helping out with PADS or the Philippine Accessible Disability Services Incorporated. PADS seeks to increase the inclusivity and diversity of the Filipino sports scenes through the inclusion of the deaf and disabled community and through creating places that their participation would be better accepted and accommodated. You can find out more about them at pads.org.ph. Yugto is narrated, researched, and written by Sunny, and is supported by the Work in Progress team, or WIP Inc. Sources and any subsequent corrections of facts for this episode can be found on the website. Support the Yugto podcast on Spotify, Anchor, and YouTube, or email us any questions at whipinc.ph@gmail.com. Finally, help us get to see you next time. Sharing us on Twitter at @yugto_pod, on Instagram at yugto.pod, or on Facebook at yugto.pod. Join us next week for another episode about the history of Filipino sports. And remember, activism is not terrorism, truth is not terrorism, and don't waste your vote this coming May.